All right, Shabbos, say good morning. Today's daf is Lamed Vav. A lot to do today, Baruch Hashem. Today's daf is Lamed Vav. We are picking up on Lamed Hey Amud Beis. And we are picking up with Amara Papala Abaye, which is 2, 4, 5 lines up from the bottom. Our shir this morning, we have a Talmud Torah sponsor for the month of Iyar, and there's a Chosav Arafua Shalema. For Tzvi Meir ben Sara Halevi, we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, he together with Kol Chole Yisrael will have a complete and enduring refuah. We also have a sponsor for the Week of Learning, anonymous sponsor for Refuah Shlema for Shulamis Basusha. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, she together with Kol Chole Yisrael will have a complete and enduring refuah. And the shir is also dedicated this morning by Natan and Leah Berry in commemoration of the yard site of Leah's grandfather, Avram Chaim ben Gidalia. We hope then in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Neshama will have an Aliyah and the family in Nechama. We'll say with that, let's begin. I want to read Rapapa La'abaye. So Rapapa said to Abaye as follows. Continuation from yesterday's discussion. Remember again, we're speaking about the concept over here of Ne'emanus. Who is believed? Who is believed ultimately to testify regarding the mum status of a bechor? That's our fundamental question. So Rabbi said to Abaye, Rabbi Meir d'amra chashad ala davar lo dono v'lo me'ido. According to Rabbi Meir, who said in the Mishnah that if you are chashad, if you are suspected of being dishonest in a particular area, lo dono, you can't adjudicate that. I shouldn't say dishonest. If you're lax in a particular area, so you can't be a judge, nor can you go ahead and testify regarding this matter. Now, I will say, now watch this. So Rav Papa does something amazing. So he takes that shita of Rabbi Meir. Then there's another shita of Rabbi Meir. Watch this. They come Rabbi Meir. Ha-choshel davar echad, choshel l'chol ha-Torah kula. So remember, we saw this before. Rabbi Meir has a very dramatic shita where he writes that if you are choshud, if you are suspect in one area, you are suspect l'chala Torah kula. So we'll say, for example, if a person is chashud to violate one mitzvah, then ultimately, again, they are chashud for everything. If you put all of this together, says the Gemara, kohanim hachanami d'la daini dina, then kohanim should never be allowed to adjudicate a case. Why not, Rabbi Osai? Because what we've established is kohanim are chashud on bechor. Right, specifically on being matal mum bebechor. Kohanim are chashud that they're going to make a mum in the bechor in order to be able to shecht it and consume it themselves. If you take that together with what? A kohen is chashud to go ahead and be matal mum bebechor. Take that with the idea that hachashud l'davar echad is chashud l'chol haTorah kula. Then ultimately, kohanim should not be permitted to go ahead and adjudicate a case. But that can't be v'haksiv v'al piem yekoriv v'chol nega. The pasuk says that based on the testimony of the kohanim, ultimately again, Kohanim will decide all Rav Nagar. So we know that Kohanim historically were judges. There was a Beis Din of Kohanim, to which the Gemara says, top of Lamed Vav, Eimar da'amar Rabbi Meir l'chashasha, l'achzekinu mi'amar. So we'll say ultimately, again, when Rabbi Meir says that the Kohanim are chashud, when Rabbi Meir says that chashud l'davar echad is chashud l'chala Torah kula, so we'll say that means when we know that he has gone ahead and actually violated something. That if someone goes ahead and we know is a habitual offender in a particular area, once he's a habitual offender in one area, that creates a cloud of suspicion around him for everything. Look at Rashi. La'achzikinu bechashudim mi amar Rabbi Meir chashud l'davar echad chashud l'chala Torah kula heicha demuchzak lan de'over al davar echad. So ultimately, it's very important. Rabbi Meir says that if you're chashud for one thing, you're chashud l'chala Torah kula. See, normally we translate the word chashud as suspect. But in reality, what chashud, and what does suspect mean? Suspect means is maybe. We suspect. No. Rabbi Meir says is if you are known to be a habitual offender in one particular area, unfortunately that erodes your credibility in all areas. So the Gemara says, "Lachs, give me Amar." So we'll say, therefore, again, when we say that Kohanim are chashud to be matil mum, We don't mean it to say that every single kohen is matil mum b'bechor. What we mean is we have to be careful. There is a suspicion, and therefore we have to act accordingly. Ibailu, aid me p'aid mahu le'edus b'chor. We'll say an interesting case. What about an aid me p'aid? So we'll say aid me p'aid means like this. Ruvain sees that, let's call it Aaron the kohen has a b'chor animal. Ruvain sees that the animal gets a mum. And Reuven saw that it was a mum through natural causes, right? Aaron the Kohen did not inflict the mum. Reuven then tells Shimon. Shimon shows up in front of the Beis Din and testifies regarding the mum of the animal. That's called Eid Mi Pi Eid. So Eid Mi Pi Eid Ma'ala Eidus Bechor. I'm supposed to say, does this type of Eidus work for Bechor? Ravasi Asar, Rav Ashi Shari. Ravasi said, it's Asar, it does not work. And Ravashi says, it is good. Amrli Ravasi, the Ravashi. So Ravasi said to Ravashi, "V'hatana de Beminashe, ain aid mi pi aid kasher eila le'edos ha'isha." But we learned in a brayso, we'll say, right? Tana de Beminashe, that aid mi pi aid, one witness testifying based on something he heard from another witness, is only good le'edos isha. So we'll say edos isha refers to the edos where we testify. A witness testifies that a woman's husband died overseas. And she is permitted to remarry based on that testimony. Now, we'll say, if you remember again, there are many, many leniencies built into that type of eidos for the purpose of avoiding aguna. So, right, that's why, again, even an eid echad is believed. We have a lot of different possibilities like that. So, therefore, the Gemara says, when do we say eid mi pe'eid is kasher? That's only dafka in a case of Eidos Ha'isha. But in other cases, it won't be good. To which the Gemara says, no. Tani ella le'edos sha'isha k'shera la bilvad. To which the Gemara says, no. Read that a little bit differently. It doesn't mean aid me pi aid is kasher for Eidos Isha, but rather it means that aid me pi aid is good in any case where a woman would be permitted to testify as well. Any situation where a woman has ne'emanos to testify, aid mi pi aid will be good as well. Now, I must say, it happens to be, interestingly enough, one of the situations where a woman has the opportunity to go ahead and testify is where? By Bechor. So just like when we believe by Bechor, so aid mi pi aid is also believed by Bechor. To which the Gemara says, Rav Yemar, achsher aid mi pi aid b'Bechor. Rav Yemar allowed for testimony of aid mi pi aid when it came to a Bechor. Karevi Mereimar wasn't happy about this, and Mereimar used to call Rav Yemar Sharei Bukhra. He used to call him Yemar, the Bechor permitter. He sounds better in Aramaic, but you know, Yemar Sharei Bukhra, right? Yemar, the Bechor permitter. The Hilcha San Abbas said, what is the halacha? Aid me pi aid kasher la aidus Bechor. And Abbas said, the Gemara says that the halacha is aid me pi aid is good for Bechor testimony. So Reuven saw that the mum occurred naturally. He tells Shimon. Shimon could show up in Beis Din and testify, and that Eidus would be accepted. I'm Rabbi Loi. Lo hayu muchzakin bo shu Bechor. Well, so isn't this interesting case? If there was a particular animal in the flock, and what happens? No one thought that that animal was a Bechor. Uba echad va'amr shuhu Bechor. And someone shows up and says, oh, by the way, that animal is a Bechor. But that animal is a Bechor. Umumo imo. So we'll say, now watch this. So the person will come, Reuven shows up. Reuven says, oh, you see that animal over there? That animal is actually a Bechor. But it's blemished, and that blemish was a naturally occurring blemish. So he comes and he tells us that it's a Bechor, but he also tells us that it has a mum, and that mum permits the animal. So Ne'eman, ultimately, again, Reuven is believed. Reuven is believed. To which the Gemara says, "My kamashalom, that's obvious." Hashapesha asra pesha hitir. They say, "Are you coming to teach?" We'll say, "We have a general concept." Pesha asra pesha hitir. If you come along and you give information that no one else knew before that asers, and then you give qualifying information which permits, you are believed for the simple reason that what? That's what? You could have stayed quiet. You didn't have to say anything. The fact that you voluntarily offered information, therefore you are believed to qualify that information as well. Tanina, we learned this once before. Ha'isha sha'amra eshes ishayisi. If a woman comes along and says, you know what, I was married, ugrusha'ani, but now I am divorced, ne'emenes, she is believed. Why? Shapesha us rapesha. The runners will say, we don't ask her for a cop you ever get. We don't ask her for witnesses. Because here's, listen, we don't know you. As far as we're concerned, you're a single lady. You're now coming along and telling us that you are married and divorced. You are absolutely believed because you gave the information that we did not know. Therefore, you are believed to qualify it. What would I have thought? So I might have thought, in the case of the Isha, the reason why she is believed is because she didn't have to say anything. Right? She did not have to say anything. She could have just kept her mouth closed, and we would assume that she's single. Aval hacha delo sagi delo amar dekachim b'chutz lo achil ema lo apesh sha'asahu. So we'll say, but in this case over here, where the concern with Bechar is that if it's not actively permitted, then it could be the equivalent of eating kachim b'chutz. Maybe this is not something that a person normally has the prerogative to remain silent about. Therefore, when Reuven comes along and says, by the way, this is a Bechar and it's also a Mum, maybe we should still require some greater threshold of believability. Kamashmala no. Kamashmala both say that we say Apeshas or Apeshahidir by Bechar as well. Dimishum Hachi, Havashadi Beimuma, Dinigar, Va'achilei. Because both say if this was just an issue of not eating Kachim Bachotz, Reuven could have just gone ahead and what? Made a Mum in the animal and eating it outside of the Beis HaMikdash, maskilomar barabashi. So we'll say, so therefore we have Rabbi Loi's statement that apesh shasra apesh shehitir works even by Bukhar. So maskilomar barabashi, maishna meahu gavra to ogir lechamra lechavre. We'll say, why is this different than the following case? Why is this different than a man who rented a donkey to his friend? So Reuven lent a donkey, or really Ogre means he rented a donkey. He rented a donkey to Shimon. And Reuven says to Shimon, here's the donkey, but lo tezel ba'archa dinar pakod. I do not want you taking the pathway of the Pakod River. Right? I don't want you going the pathway of the Pakod River. Why not? The Ikamaya, because that path, that road always floods, and I don't want my donkey getting washed away. Zil ba'archa dinarash, the lekamaya, go down the path of Narash, which is always dry. So what happens? Shimon takes the animal. So Shimon goes down, for whatever the reason, he goes down the Pekod River Road. And what happens? I'm also, here's what's interesting. The donkey dies. The donkey dies, but nothing to do with water. Right? It has a heart attack. Right? It has a heart attack and it dies. So what happens? So Shimon shows up and he tells Reuven, listen, I disobeyed your statement, and I went down the Pekod River Road. Umiu Maya Lohavu. But I want you to know, the animal died, but nothing to do with the water. So I will say, what's really happening over here is that Shimon's trying to say, essentially, you know, I'm an ones, right? This was an extenuating circumstance, and therefore, again, I'm not chayiv for this, because you didn't want me to go down the Pekod River Road because the road will get flooded and the animal will get swept away. It happens to be, you're right, your donkey died, but nothing to do with water. To which the Gemara says, Va'amar Rava, and Rava said, Malo the Shaker. And Rava says, in this case, Shimon is believed. Why? Because Malo Shaker means, why would he lie? Because remember, again, he could have just as easily said what? Shimon could have said what? I took the donkey down the Narash road, right? He didn't have to tell Reuven that he took the donkey down the Nar Pekod road. He could have just said, I took the road that you wanted me to, and Nebuch, I'm sorry, Baruch Tanemes, your donkey died. Your donkey died. The fact that he gave this information, he's believed. Malo l'shaker. To which the Gemara says, Abaye says, Malo l'shaker b'makom edim lo aminon. So we'll say, interestingly enough, Abaye says, we do not say malo l'shaker b'makom edim, which means what they're both saying. That ultimately, when we have literally testimony that says the opposite of what the person is tining, what the person is claiming, so we do not employ the mechanism of malo l'shaker. Then I will say, now, what that means over here is hachi hashtahasam vada ika maya. So I will say, what's the idea? The idea is that apparently the Nar Pekod road was always flooded. Was always flooded. There was no such thing as not having flooding on that road. So therefore, again, when Shimon comes along and says, oh, I took him down that road, but there was no water, he's not believed. He's not believed. That's called, even though we would say Malo Bashakir, why should he lie? He could just as easily say, I took the donkey down the Pakod River Road. Malo Bashakir Bemakum Edim Lo Amrinon. The Edim over here in this case is the fact that we is a circumstantial edus. We always know that there's water on that road, and therefore he's not believed, essentially, to say that there wasn't water there. So So in this case over here, there's definitely water. Hasam vadai shadi beimuma. Are you going to say in the case of the Bakar that the individual is chashed to definitely inflict the mum? It's not definitely. Chashashahu. People say that's a chashash. Or it's a chashash that people inflict, that kohanim inflict mumin on the animal in order to go ahead and eat it. Ubimokum chashasha arminon malo l'shaker. And I will say, in the case of a chashash, we do employ the mechanism of malo l'shaker. Therefore, going back to Rabbi Eloi's point, if the owner of the animal, the kohen, comes along and he says, this animal happens to be a bechar, right? But the mum that it has was a naturally occurring mum. We believe him. We believe him. Ultimately, again, why? Because apesha asra apesha hitir, malo l'shaker. He could just be quiet and do whatever he wants with the animal. The fact that he's telling us that it, in fact, is a bechar, therefore he's believed to qualify that statement as well. Yosef Ravina beka amar lahaish shmaito b'lo gavra. Ravina was telling over this particular ruling without attribution. The statement of Rabbi Eloi, without attribution. So Amr Le Rava Zuta the Ravina. So Ravina Zuta said to Ravina, by the way, Anon, Mishmed Rabbi Eloi Masnin Allah. You're quoting it without attribution. We when we quote this ruling, we always quote it in the name of Rabbi Eloi. Rabbi Tzadok, Havile Bukhra. Suppose listen to this. Rabbi Tzadok is an interesting case. Had a Bukhar animal. Rabbi Tzadok had a Bukhar animal. What happened? So Havile Bukhra, he had a Bukhar. Rama Beisari Bisali. So this is actually very interesting. It's actually Rami Beisari Bisali Nasre Kaili Aruva Arava Kalufa. He put the animal feed, he put the food in the animal in a basket made from peeled willow branches. So what happens? The animal sticks its head into the basket in order to eat up the food. Bahadi de Ka'akil Ivza Sifse. This is actually interesting. As the animal was eating in the basket, it split its lip, which I will say is a mum. Is a mum. Now Rabbi Tzadok is a kohen. That bechar is his bechar. And now the bechar developed a mum from the basket the animal was eating in. But remember again, let's say, what's interesting about this case, how did the bechar develop its mum? Because of the basket that Rabbi Tzadok made. So it says the Gemara. So Asla Kameid Rabbi Yoshua. So Rabbi Tzadok comes before Rabbi Yoshua. Amarle, he asks him as follows. Klum chilaknu bin chavar la'amaretz. Do we make a distinction between a Talmud Chacham and an Amaretz? So we'll say, what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Klum chilaknu bin koin chavar la'koin Amaretz. Umichash dinon ana l'mishte be'muma b'kavana ke'koin Amaretz. So we'll say, so remember again, we've established, we're going to further establish, that Kohanim do not have credibility when it comes to Bechar. And therefore, if a Kohen's Bechar develops a mum, the Kohen needs external corroboration that the mum was not inflicted, but the mum was naturally occurring. What Rabbi Tzadok was asking Rabbi Yoshua is this a din for all Kohanim? Or does a Kohen who is a Talmud Chacham have a certain level of credibility that a Kohen Am Haaretz does not? Amar lo Rabbi Yoshua, hein. Rabbi Yoshua said, yes. In fact, there is a distinction. Rashi says, "Hein chalaknu v'lo chashirta." You are not chashud. In other words, Rabbi Tzadok, no one is chashud that you purposely created a peeled willow basket, so that your animal should stick its head in, split its lip, develop a mum. So we are chosh. We are choshed a koin ama aretz, but we are not choshed a koin tamid chacham. Good. So Rabbi Tzadok first goes to Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Yoshua tells him, we're only worried about a kohen Am Haaretz intentionally inflicting a mum. We are not worried about a kohen Talmud Chacham. Therefore, Rabbi Tzadok, you're good to go. Your animal is permitted. You could shecht it. Go. For whatever the reason, Rabbi Tzadok then goes to Rabbi Gamliel. Amrlei, and Rabbi Yas is saying chash to Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel says, Chilaknu bein chaver la Am Haaretz. I'm sorry. Rabbi Tzadok asked him, Rabbi, do we make a distinction between a Kohen Chaver, a Kohen Talmud Chacham, and a Kohen Am Haaretz? Amar Le Rabbi Gamliel, lo. First, why line above said Lamed Vavam Dalev? Rabbi Gamliel said, no distinction. The same way that a coin Amma Aretz is chashed to inflict the mum, even a coin Talmud Chacham is chashed to inflict the mum. And therefore, if the animal develops a mum, there must be some corroboration outside of the coin himself in order to establish that this is a naturally occurring mum. Aye. So also Rabbi Tzadik says, Aye, Bahar Rabbi Yoshua Amar Lihain. But Rabbi Gamliel, I don't mean to contradict you, but Rabbi Yoshua said that there is a distinction, and we are only choshed a koyd amar. It's not a koyin tabut chacham. So Rabbi Gamliel says, "Amrle hamtin atchiyalu bali chisin lebeis hamedrash." So Rabbi Gamliel says that let's wait. Bali chisin means the shield bearers. Let's wait till everyone assembles in the yeshiva. Right? Let's wait till everybody, all the talmidei chacham, come in, and we'll discuss the matter. Kevan shenichnasu lebeis hamedrash. As soon as everybody assembled in the base medrash, Amad Hashoel Vishal. So what they used to use, one person would go ahead and stand up and pose a question to the Rabbanim, to the base medrash, and then they would debate the question. So here was the question of the day: Kum klum chilaknu bein chaver la Amma Aretz? Do we make a distinction between a coin Talmud Chacham and a coin Amma Aretz for purposes of mum? Amr lo, excuse me. Amr le Rabbi Yoshua lav. Rabbi Yoshua said no. We make no distinction. The same way that a coin Amma Aretz is suspect, a coin Talmud Chacham is suspect as well. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yeshua Lav, Amar Rabbi Gamliel, V'halo Mishmecha Amru Lihein. But Rabbi Gamliel pipes up. Remember, Rabbi Gamliel is the head of the Beis Din, right? He is the Reish Masifta. So Rabbi Gamliel says, Rabbi Gamliel says, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Tzadok told me in your name that you do make a distinction between a coin Talmud Chacham and a coin Amma Aretz. Why are you standing here saying no? Yoshua, amold al raglecha v'yaidu b'cha. Yoshua, stand up and Rabbi Tzadok testify about what Rabbi Yoshua said to you. So amod Rabbi Yoshua raglav. Rabbi Yoshua stood up on his feet v'amar. Heich es. Yoshua says, what do you want of me? Il moli ani chay v'hu meis, yachal achay lahachish es ha-meis. If ultimately, again, Rabbi Tzadok were alive, or if I was alive, Rabbi Tzadok was dead, so I could contradict what he said, right? Because the living could contradict what the dead said. Achshav shani chai v'hu chai. Hey chai yochel lahachish es ha-chai. But now I'm alive and he's alive. I can't contradict what he was saying. So we'll say, well, just to understand what happened over here is Rabbi Yoshua changed his original position. He changed it, meaning in the beginning, he felt that we do make a distinction between a coin Talmud Chacham and a coin Amma Aretz, and that's why he passed in for Rabbi Tzadok. At some point later on, he changed that position. So that the Rabbi Gamliel calls on him in the Sanhedrin and says, what's your position? He says, there is no distinction. Rabbi Gamliel feels that he's contradicting himself, or he's not being honest with what his position is. It's not clear, but Rabbi Gamliel tells him to go ahead and stand up, and ultimately, again, shames him in front of the entire base medrash. So remember again, what happened? Rabbi Yoshua standing. Remember, everyone else is sitting. Rabbi Yoshua standing, and Rabbi Gamliel never gives him official permission to sit. And so Rabbi Yoshua remains standing. Throughout the entire drasha, obviously exceptionally embarrassed and humiliated, so the Gemara says, "Ad sherininu kala am va'amal the chutzpis hatorgeman amod va'amad." Until the other rabbanim in the base medrash were so uncomfortable with this humiliation of Rabbi Yoshua that they said to chutzpis the torgeman. So let's remember again, Rabbi Gamliel, when he would give the shir, so he'd have a torgeman. He'd say something, and then the torgeman would go and expound on it and explain it in plainer terms. So the other rabbanim said to chutzpis, Stop. You can't go on with the shir as long as Rabbi Yoshua ultimately is standing in place. So we'll say, just so you should know, there are two episodes like this, right? This is one episode here, and the other episode is in Maseches Brachos, where again, Rabbi Yoshua ben Gamliel have a dispute about Kriya Shema Shel Arvis. So we'll say, remember again, or Gulan Arvis. So we'll say, remember again, this story in Brachos, which was the second of the two episodes, leads ultimately again to the replacement, to essentially the firing of Rabbi Gamliel from his position and his replacement with Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, right? So we'll say, remember again, this is the Haggadah. Harayanika ben Shivim Shana. That story occurs right after Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is asked to replace Rabbi Gamliel. And Rabbi Gamliel literally is replaced because he publicly embarrassed Rabbi Yoshua twice, the same type of thing, where he calls out Rabbi Yoshua for a position and leaves him standing while he goes on with the shir. We both say, but again, for our purpose is halacha lemaisa. First of all, we paskin, there is no distinction between a kohen am ha'aretz and a kohen talmid chacham. That's number one. So the fact that kohanim are chashud to be matil mum ultimately applies to all kohanim. Furthermore, again, we also go ahead and accept the position of Rabbi Eloi, namely that halacha lemaisa pesha asura pesha hitir, or malo l'shaker. That ultimately, again, when we say kohanim are chashud, that doesn't mean that we believe that every single kohen inflicts a mum on his bechor. It just means that we have to be concerned for it and structure halacha around that reality. Therefore, but if a kohen were to come along and say, you know, that animal that no one knew about, that's a bechor, and that's its mum, and the mum is naturally occurring, we would believe him in that case, because we would say, hapesh asur hapesh hitir, malo l'shake. Good, says the Mishnah. Ne'man ha-kohen lomar, her'isi b'char zeh u'bamumu. So we'll say, a kohen is believed to say that ultimately what? I showed this b'char to a mumche, and it is a bamum. So we'll remember again, we've seen and we will continue to see that halacha l'maisa, you can't really have to show a mum to a mumche. Right, you have to show the mum to an expert. So a kohen is believed to say, this bechor animal that I have, I took the animal to a mumcha, I showed it to him, he paskin that it was a mum kavua, and therefore I am permitted to shech this animal. A kohen is believed to state to give that testimony. So the Gemara says, and then Rashi actually points out something very interesting. Rashi says, "Hereisi b'char zeh l'chacham va'amrali shemum kavuahu v'shochto u'bavachilo edim shleitilubo." So I'll say, so interestingly enough, apparently according to Rashi, you're still required to have independent corroboration that the kohen did not go ahead and intentionally inflict the mum. Now the truth is, the other Rishonim disagree with this because they feel this would be part of the investigation of the mumcha. Meaning when you show up at the mumcha, he doesn't just look at the mum and say kavua or over. You know, rather he investigates the circumstances of the mum as well. But our point being is that the kohen is believed to say that he took it to a mumcha and the mumcha paskin. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Neman a kohen lomar bechor zeh nasan liyisrael b'mumo. Supposed to listen to this. A kohen is believed to say that this bechor animal that I have was given to me with a yisrael. Was given to me by yisrael with its mum. In other words, I received a blemished bechor from yisrael, and therefore, of course, this animal is permitted for shechita and consumption. Look at Rashi. Neman a kohen lomar lechacham bechor zeh nasan liyisrael imum zeh shabo. Supposed to say this is talking about when the kohen shows up at the home of the mumcha, and he explains the circumstances, he is permitted to say, I received this from the Yisrael with its mum. My taima. So what's the reason why the kohen is believed in this situation? So, this is actually very interesting. Generally, when do people lie? When there's a very low probability of anyone being able to corroborate their story. People don't lie. Generally, people don't lie regarding information that is easily discoverable. Hey, so therefore, again, I will say, for the kohen to come to the mumcha and say, listen, I got this animal from Yaakov the Yisrael, right? And again, it was given to me with a mum. So a piece of information like that is easily discoverable or is easily corroboratable. Easily corroborated, good. Easily corroborated by the kohen. Right, so we'll say, so because of that, he's not going to lie. Amar Rav Ashi, afana nami tanina. We also learn this as well. Neman hakohen lomer, here esi bechor zeh, uba mumhu. Right, ultimately, the kohen is believed to say, I showed my bechor to a mumcha, and it is a bal mum. So my time, what's the reason for this? Lav mishum darmino kol milsa da'avidala gluye lo meshakri be'inshi. I will say ultimately why? Because we assume that any piece of information which can become discovered, people do not lie about it. Says the Gemara, hasam hu dekachim b'chutz lo achil. So we'll say in the case of the Mishnah, we also assume, remember again, here's the problem. If you eat a bechor, if the coin eats a bechor without a mum, or without an appropriate mum, that's eating kachim b'chutz. A kohen's not going to go ahead and eat kachim b'chutz. Therefore, again, if halacha lemaisa, he tells us that he showed it to the kohen, and it has a mum, we are going to believe him. But I will say over here, if a kohen is chashid, he's chashid. So how do you make that distinction? Look at Rashi. Aval hocha the kamach vilei lachacham va'amar b'mum ze nusna li Yisrael kadesh lo yitzarech lahavi edim sheme elav nafal bo kevan dechashidi kohani lahatel mum ulameimar nafal me'elav. So we'll say kohanim are chashid to be matel mum and ultimately go ahead and say that it happened by itself. So which the Gemara says, Masiv Rav Shizvi. So Rav Shizvi ultimately raises a kasha. Ha'omer l'mi she'ein ne'aman ala meiser. Kach l'mi mushe ne'aman. What's in this case? If someone, ha'omer l'mi she'ein ne'aman ala meiser. So we'll say, if I say to Reuven, and by the way, Reuven is not ne'aman. He himself does not have credibility that he separates out meiser from his produce. So I say to Reuven, kach l'mi mishu ne'aman o mishu ma'aser. So we'll say, so I say to Reuven, listen, I need you to go out and buy some produce for me, but I need to make sure that you get it from someone who is ne'eman regarding meiser. Either that he only purchases tithe produce, or that whenever he gets produce, he tithes it himself. Buy me produce, but buy me produce from someone who is a ne'eman. So we'll say, what's the halacha? Ain't a ne'eman. When Reuven goes out and he buys me produce, I cannot rely on the fact that that produce is properly tithed. Why not? Am I? Why don't I say that at the end of the day? Of course Reuven is believed. Why? Because halacha lemaisa, this is an easily discoverable piece of information. Right? At the end of the day, I could ask Reuven who he bought from. And halacha lemaisa, if the person didn't tithe, I have the ability to realize that he's lying to me. To which the Gemara says, shiny hasam, this case is different. Why? I'm a base. The isle li'ishtamute. Because they both say, Reuven himself has an out. What's his out? He could say, well, what do you want from me? I thought that this guy was Ne'eman. I thought he was Ne'eman. Meaning I made a mistake. I didn't intentionally try to deceive him. They both say, so what, meaning a person will lie, a person won't lie when something is discoverable, unless of course what? Unless of course what? He has a good alibi. Right? So in this case over here, when I tell Reuven, go out and buy me tithe produce, and Reuven is not believed to provide for me tithe produce. Aye. But once he tells me who he bought it from, I could easily discover if it was tithed or not. Because we'll say, even then, he could have an excuse of, oh, I didn't know. I thought the guy was a ne'eman. I'm so sorry. He pulled the fast one on both of us. Therefore, the shliach has no ne'emanus. Now, we'll say, now watch this. Safe about the misrael. But the end of that, right? So, Sumi can help us. How so? Me ishploni. We'll say, what happens if I say to Reuven, I want you to buy from me produce from Shimon. From Shimon. Shimon is, because remember, in case number one, what did I tell Reuven? Buy produce from me from someone who has credibility, Lagabi Meiser. In case number two, I'm not saying someone, I'm saying Shimon. Shimon, go to Shimon. Purchase produce from Shimon. So what's the halacha? So ultimately, if Reuven shows back up with produce and he tells me it's from Shimon, he is believed. Why? Hasam kevan de isle toveya mirsas. But say that case is different. Why? Because there is a toveya. Look at Rashi. Hasam kevan de ika toveya mirsas. Kilomar mehalo tisayed the hasam mirsas shaliach kevan de chazi de kapid mishalach lahaskir shema ish savar vada yitba anu. So we'll say, listen to this. In a case where literally I said to the shaliach, a specific person, go buy from Shimon. So we'll say, there is a situation where, again, where if Reuven did the shlichus or not, is an easily discoverable reality. And if he didn't, ultimately, again, he'll be held accountable. But look at Rashi. Avagabi b'char lo mirsas haikoin the savar mi yitrach lechapes achar dvarai. So we'll say, but when the coin shows up and the coin says to the mumcha, I got this bukhar from Yisrael, and the bukhar already had its mum on it, who's going to really go through the effort of actually corroborating that story? Or so the coin thinks. Therefore, the coin would feel emboldened to go ahead and lie about that as well. So Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba, Mina lei Li Yehuda. So ultimately, again, so the Gemara says, I'm sorry, what's the place? So the Gemara says, I'm sorry. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Bar Abba. Minalei Yehuda. Look at Rashi. Minalei Yehuda. Ha. Da Amr Le'el Ne'aman Koin Lomar Bechar Zen Nasan Li Li Yisrael B'Mumo. So we'll say, so where does Rabbi Yehuda know that ultimately, again, a Koin is believed to say, when he comes before the Mumcha, he is believed to say, I received this animal from the Yisrael with its Mum. Ana Begidl Kavase. Ultimately, again, I went ahead and taught this to Gidl. V'Gidl kavei b'didei. And it was Gidl who taught Rabbi Yehuda. V'hachi amri lei. And this is what he said to him. Ne'eman Yisrael lomar b'char zen asati l'koin b'mumo. In fact, the halacha bosa is as follows. Not that the coin is believed to say, I went ahead and I got this from the Yisrael this mum, but rather, a Yisrael is believed to say, I gave this animal with a mum to the coin. So which thing when it says Yisrael, Pshita. So I don't understand, like, what's the chiddush? Of course, I must remember it again. A Yisrael doesn't have a horse in this race, right? Yisrael, of course, is believed. Why? Because remember, again, as much as Yisrael could eat of the Bechar is not his. So if Yisrael comes along and says, I gave this animal to a Kohen, and I gave it with its mum, of course he's believed. What's the Shaila? To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Lo tzarech bekatan behigdil. Oh, we'll say, what's the chiddush case? The chiddush case is when the Yisrael gave the animal to the Kohen, it was a katan. He comes around sometime later, and the animal got bigger. So we'll say, I might have thought it was mal detema lo kimle. I might have thought Rabosai that, let's say now, I don't believe the Yisrael that he actually recognizes this animal. Right? Kamashul and Rabosai that we assume that the Yisrael recognizes his animal even sometime later. So remember again, the chiddush of this case is the Yisrael gave the animal to the Kohen when the animal was a katan, it was young. Then sometime later on, the Yisrael shows up and he testifies, that animal, I gave to the Kohen and it had its mum on it when I gave it to the Kohen. To which the Gemara says, okay, Yisrael is believed, but what's the chiddush? The chiddush is, k'nai nahara, the animal has grown. And the animal looks very different today than it did when the Yisrael gave it to the Kohen. I might have thought that people don't have such acute animal recognition skills. Kamashma that we trust the Yisrael to say, that animal that is now a gadol is the same animal that I gave to the Kohen when it was a katan and had its mum with it when I gave it to the Kohen. Basura masnu kilishna basra, bepumpadisa kilishna kama. So we'll say in surah, they went ahead and they stated this halacha with the later Lashon, and in Pompadisa, the earlier Lashon. I will say, look at Rashi. Kalishna Basra, ultimately is Ne'aman Yisrael. Kalishna Basra is the version we just had. That a Yisrael is believed to say that he gave the animal to the Kohen with a mum. In Pompadisa, they went with the earlier Lashon, I will say, which was what? That not only is a Yisrael believed, but what? A Kohen is believed to say that a Yisrael gave me this animal with a mum. Behilchasa, and I will say the halacha is afilu kalishna kama. But the Gemara says the halacha is that indeed a kohen is believed to go ahead and say that what? The Yisrael gave me this animal with a mum. Rafram bapumpadisa havalei buchra. Suppose that Rafram was in Pumpadisa and he had with him a bachar. The yoiv le kohen below muma. So let's listen to this case. So Raphram, who was Yisrael, was in Pompadisa. He had a Bechor animal. So as a good Jew, he gives his Bechor animal to a Kohen, right? And he gave the animal to the Kohen unblemished. Azel Shadl Beimuma, the Kohen went ahead and inflicted a mum on the Bechor animal. So what happens? Chalosh Be'enei. So we'll say, so now Raphram had some type of degenerative eye disease. He could not see, or he had difficulty seeing. So what happens? Chalosh Be'enei. I see the Kameh. So we'll say, listen to this wild story. So we'll call him Kohen. Remember, so Raphram gave his unblemished Bechor to a Kohen. So for the Kohen, the Kohen in this story, actively blemished the Bechor. Aser. What does he do? He then brings that very Bechor to Raphram. Raphram was a mumcha. To paskin on the mum, if it was a mum over, or if it was a mum kavua. And I will say, now what's the Kohen's cheshbon? The Kohen's cheshbon is, Raphram's eyesight is very poor. Very poor. See, either he won't recognize me, he won't recognize the animal, or he won't pass unless he can recognize the mum, but he was banking on either he won't recognize me or the animal. So Amarlei, so the guy says, he lies right to Raphram. Amarlei, Bechor zen nasan li yisrael b'mumo. So he says, listen to this. So the Kohen says to Raphram, oh, you know what? I received this Bechor from a Yisrael. And when I received it from Yisrael, it came with a mum. Mum included. So what happens? Arfasin hu le'enei. So we'll say arfasin le'enei is very interesting. It literally means pasach in the bekoach. I guess Raphram's issue was he couldn't keep his eyes open. So he forced his eyelids open. He looked at the bechar. Chazye b'shikra. Shikra. And he recognized the animal. He recognized the guy. Amalei lav ana diahivalech. Am I not the one who gave you this animal? Hey, so says, so again, so Raphram confronts the liar. They both say, so obviously this case is not going to work. But afilu hachi lo chash la lemilsa. Both say, it's actually amazing. So you might have thought as follows. You might have thought after a story like this, so Raphram would say, therefore the halacha is that a kohen is not believed to go ahead and say that a Yisrael gave me this animal. And it had its mum. After all, here's an episode of a kohen coming along and literally lying to the very Yisrael who gave him the animal about who gave it to him and about the mum. But nevertheless, lo chashei lemilsa, Raphram did not change the previously established halachic position. Why? Haihu dechatzif, kuli alma lo chatzifi. It is only this guy who is an incredible baal chutzpah. But we do not assume that most people are such ba'alei chutzpah. Therefore, again, I will say, still going with our previously established position, which is that if a kohen comes along and says, I got this animal from Yisrael and had its mum with it, that we believe. And I will say, just, I will tell you, there's an incredible musra in this Gemara as well. Sometimes in life, we have bad interactions with people. And sometimes what ends up happening is those bad interactions so color the way we look at people in general. Whether it's certain races, ethnicities, types of people, and we draw conclusions based on the actions of an individual and we apply it to an entire group. People do this to us all of the time. And what the Gemara is saying over here is sometimes, haihu dechatzif, kuli amalo chatzifi. Don't become jaded on humanity. Don't become jaded about a group because of the actions of individuals or a few. There are always some people who are ridiculous ba'alei chutzpah. But at the end of the day, don't draw conclusions about a group or a whole based on the actions of individuals. Very important to yisod. Ha'hu sarua da'asla kamei drabashi. Let's listen to this case. There was a sarua. Sarua is one eye is larger than the other. That is a mum. So there was a sarua. There was an animal, a bechor animal that was a sarua. They came before Rabbi Yashi. Amar l'may nechushlei. Ikoinu, Yisraelu, harei bechara mumi imlo. What's the shaila here, right? At the end of the day, this is a bechar, and it has an apparent mum. The Gemara says, v'amar Rabbi Yehuda, ein roin bechar Yisrael, ala imkein koin imo. But listen to this. So the issue over here is, I'm sorry. Amar l'rabinu l'ravashi, dilma Yisraelu. Maybe the issue over here is that who's bringing the animal? Who's bringing the animal? Is it Yisrael? And also, we have another halacha. Listen to this. Listen to this. You are not permitted to paskin regarding a bechar of a Yisrael unless, of course, he brings a kohen with him. What are we concerned about, Rabbi saying? This is actually amazing. That if you go ahead and you paskin that the bechar is mutter, what may occur? What may occur is that the Yisrael may shecht it and eat it. Why? Because we say, "Lach lamaisa." We know we saw a couple of days ago that everyone is permitted to partake of bechar behema meat that is shechted because of a mum. So if the Yisrael shows up at the mumcha and the mumcha says mutter for shechita, we're concerned that the Yisrael is going to shecht it and eat it himself. Therefore, lach lamaisa, if the Yisrael comes to ask a shaila about a mum, we only pass it if there's a kohen there together with him. Because this way there'll be pressure to what? To give the bechar behema ultimately to the kohen. So ultimately, again, as much as Yisrael is not going to eat kachin b'chutz, amamoni de kohen chashid. He is chashid for stealing. We're saying people won't eat kachin b'chutz because that's in Isser Karis. But people do steal all of the time. Hacha. But we'll say in this case over here, everyone knows that a sarua, right? When one eye is larger than the other, everyone knows that that is a mum kavua. So if everyone knows that it's a mum, so why is it that this Yisrael is bringing this before the Beis Din, before the mumcha? Mishum kavoda de chacham. Ultimately, again, out of deference to the chacham, because the Yisrael does not want to paskin on something himself, he wants the input of the chacham. If so the Gemara says Akvoldo, the Chacham lo Aved, a Surah Aved. So I'll say, Surah Aved, if this guy is so careful with the Kavod of a Talmud Chacham, that he's going to ask the Shaila even in a situation where it's absolutely and abundantly clear that there is no problem, is he going to steal from the coin? And therefore, we'll say the assumption is no. If Halacha Lamaisa Yisrael showing up with an obvious mum kavua, but out of deference to the Talmud Chacham, he's going to ask the Shaila, then this type of person, this caliber of person, is not going to steal from the coin as well. Look at the Mishnah. Hakol ne'eman and amume meiser. So we'll say everyone is believed when it comes to the mum of meiser. So we'll say, remember again, meiser behema, the tenth animal from your flock, we'll say is yours. In other words, you are permitted to eat it. It's kind of like meiser sheni. You just have to take it to Yerushalayim. If it develops some mum, you don't have to do anything with it. You can shecht it like a regular animal. Everyone is believed to testify regarding mume meiser, my time. So we'll say, why is that everyone is believed? Right? We just went through such an exhaustive study in terms of who's believed, when you're believed, how you're believed for a mum and a bechor. Yet when it comes to a mum on meiser, everyone is believed. Why is that? Says my time. Because the truth is, you could have proactively blemished this animal and prevented it from becoming Meister Behema to begin with. To which the Gemara says, really? Miyada Hainafik. How can you proactively blemish a Meister Behema animal? You don't know which animal is going to be number 10 when coming out of the pen. To which the Gemara says, maybe what you'll do is, no, you'll blemish an animal and then arrange it in such a way that is the 10th animal which comes out. The Gemara says, that's the Isra Daraisa. Lo yivakir bein tov l'ra. We'll say, that you're not allowed to do. You can't distinguish between the good animal and the not so good animal when it comes to Meiser Behema. Ela dibay shadi bein mumam b'kul adrei. Then we'll say, there's a very simple way to make your entire flock free from any Meiser obligation, which is what? Proactively blemish all of your animals. We'll say, it's not a big deal. Split the lip. Animal will be just fine. Split the lip. Easy for me to say, right? Split the lip of every animal. And we'll say, what happens? You make all of your animal a baal mum. There's absolutely no prohibition in doing that. If you want to go ahead and go into your flock and split the lip or make some other type of mum in your animal, therefore, we'll say you disqualify all of the animals from Meiser Behema. It's Meiser Behema free flock, and you're good to go. Since I could do that if I wanted to, therefore what? I am believed to say that this animal had a mum, and therefore is exempt from Meiser Behema. But we'll say, same idea as we said before, that essentially, again, or a malo, the shaker, when you had an out, ultimately, again, and you come forward with information that lends credibility to the information you are advancing. So we'll stop over here. We'll pick up at the Mishnah Mir Tzashem tomorrow. Say that once more.
When they tried to get out of the...